Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And a warm welcome back to my Friday Five. And I'm sure you cannot have failed to notice that it was indeed World Menopause Day on Monday, if you're listening to me in real time. And such a lot of chat across mainstream media. We had newsprint, TV, radio, not to mention, of course, plenty of social media. And I really loved recording my IGTV live with the top menopause medic, Dr. Rebecca Lewis, on Monday. And if you missed it, you will find this on the Lizar Wellbeing YouTube channel, where we managed to cover so many questions and updates on how to best manage menopausal symptoms and even how to get the best from your GP when booking an appointment, either face-to-face or online. And as Rebecca is a GP, she has a lot of advice on how to go about approaching your own doctor. Well, I have actually recorded several podcasts on very many aspects of the menopause and general hormone health over the years, and you will find these in my podcast archive, including an excellent one with Dr. Lewis, focusing specifically on menopause and anxiety. And we recorded that in the middle of lockdown last year. And this is unfortunately especially relevant now, I think, as we're seeing record numbers of women especially being referred to mental health as we witness the unintended consequences of repeated lockdowns and living in a heightened state of pandemic fear. Now, this can especially affect midlife women because we're also losing estrogen from the estrogen receptors in our brains, and this affects our ability to perceive and process risk, amongst other things. And it can lead to increased rates of all kinds of cognitive issues, from memory loss and brain fog to irrationality, anxiety, OCD, agoraphobia, loss of confidence, loss of joy, and more. In fact, so many midlife women describe their mental health state as being flat. Yeah, just a dreadful feeling of almost numbed flatness, no highs, no lows, just a general disinterest and withdrawal from life. But, you know, it really is quite astounding just how quickly one's mojo returns with just a little bit of replacement estrogen. Well, this is, of course, only one of the very many symptoms of hormone loss that occurs, generally speaking, from our mid-40s onwards. Anyway, I'm not going to talk too much about it here. You've heard me say it so often. But just to say that if you missed my chat with Dr. Rebecca Lewis, do please head over to YouTube. You will find it on the Lizar Wellbeing Magazine channel, which, of course, you can also subscribe to. I'm going to be uploading many more videos on a wide range of topics in the coming weeks. And thank you too for all your many, many kind words and comments that you leave for my team and for me over on our YouTube page. We do read everyone and we do try to respond to as many as we can. Now, some of my most popular YouTube videos have actually been on a totally different subject, much more superficial. They've been about makeup and beauty makeovers. And I guess, well, that's the nature of the beast, really, isn't it? When you think about how YouTube started and the meteoric rise of some of the young social media influencers and vloggers who literally make their fortune filming face-to-face tutorials and makeovers in their bedrooms. Really astonishing to watch some of these, and quite addictive actually once you start to watch them, because they just roll on in an endless stream of beauty tips. Well, I'm very pleased to see more older vloggers, and I guess I should include myself here, also making a mark on YouTube. And it certainly can be a very useful place to find all kinds of helpful tutorials. There's just so much there, isn't there? You know, you've got cosmetic tips, you've got tech, which is really handy if you're a technophobe like me. Many a time I have learnt how to change a printer cartridge or alter my Instagram or phone settings simply by watching a YouTube tutorial. But on the subject of beauty in general and the ethics of the beauty industry in particular, I was very pleased this week to catch up with an old contact of mine, Michelle Thu. She is the CEO of Cruelty Free International, a real powerhouse of a woman I first met many, many years ago, back in the day when I was still connected to the Lazar Beauty Company. And of course, I set up their original animal testing policies along with so many more of the brand ethics. And I've become aware of potential changes in the legislation here. And so I wanted to have a good catch up on all here so that I was better informed. And as a result of our meeting, I've invited her back here now to bring us all up to speed on an issue which I know so many of us are both aware of and keenly interested in. Well, to discuss further, it's a real pleasure to introduce you to Michelle Thu, who is the Chief Executive of Cruelty Free International, a lady with a real passion for this and somebody that I've had the pleasure of knowing for many years, if not decades. Welcome, Michelle. How long has it been?
It has been decades, actually, Liz. Lovely to chat to you. Yeah, at least 2 decades. That's showing my age there. But yes, you were one of the original pioneers in this whole field when I first joined this campaign.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? And it's amazing to see how far it's come and the reach of it. Shall we just go back and look at the whole area of animal testing? How did you get involved? And you know, what is the remit for Cruelty Free International as an organisation?
Thank you. Yes, Cruelty Free International is a global NGO that works to end animal testing. And we started our life actually over 100 years ago, founded by a suffragette that was concerned about a whole range of social progress issues. And we were then the BUAV, was a UK based organisation. And
that is amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to stop you there. 100 years ago, founded by a suffragette. I mean, when people talk about cruelty free beauty, you think of it, or at least I do, as being a relatively new thing. I think about pioneers like Anita Roddick and Body Shop. I certainly wouldn't have associated it with the suffragette movement. That's extraordinary. How amazing. Thank you for filling us in on that.
It is amazing. And I think that was at a time when key women in the movement were concerned not only about women's rights issues, but also had broader social interests and were very progressive. And so a lot of the key organisations that were actually still around today from the RSPCA on were founded then by a group of people who were very much concerned about the welfare of animals. And then, of course, over the decades, we saw the issues around animal testing in beauty come into much sharper focus. And that was really from the 1970s, 1980s onwards. And we have now transitioned into Cruelty Free International because we work globally, not just in the UK. We work with regulators, we work with the UN, we work with brands internationally. And now, as you said, Liz, it's a time of huge change in this issue and a lot of progress, a lot that we have to celebrate, but also a lot that we still have to fight for.
Amazing. And just to recap there, you mentioned the initials BUAV. They are the initials that I remember. I mean, when I was connected with my former beauty company all those years ago, I remember being accredited by BUAV, which I think I'm right, was the British Union for the Abolition of Vivisection. Is that right?
Absolutely perfect. Yes.
I remember that.
Perfect. The difficulty with that as a name, of course, is that someone like you who, you know, has been steeped in ethics and values for so long will be familiar with the name, but it was quite a difficult name, yeah, you know, in the media to explain to the public. And now Cruelty Free International really says what it is.
Sure.
So, you know, it's positive, it's progressive. We want to create a cruelty-free world, and we need to do that on a global stage. So we have that history and that underpinning, but now very much a forward-looking vision.
And I think, am I right in saying that the vast majority of beauty companies, certainly here in the UK, are not testing on animals, and good alternatives have been found? Would that be fair?
We're definitely moving away. I think that's fair to say. So we had initial legislation here in the UK, and then we've seen more and more countries adopt that practice. We had a watershed moment in 2013 when the European Union voted to end testing of cosmetics on animals and to end the import of cosmetics newly tested on animals. We thought, therefore, that a lot of those battles were won. We then turned our attention to, you know, rolling this out internationally. So we have legislation everywhere from, you know, states in the US to Australia, right around the world, progress in India, progress in China. But now we're facing new threats with chemicals testing. And so even great companies who want to do the right thing are finding it very difficult to retain their cruelty-free status. And that's where, you know, our campaigning is still relevant today.
Well, we'll come on and talk about that. Just one thing I want to pick up on there, which you said, and that's recently tested. And I remember being very firm with my former beauty company on this, and that was having a fixed cutoff date for animal testing, because people could say no animal testing, and that applied just to the last 5 years. And of course, that 5 years is a rolling 5 years. So you could be using an ingredient that had been tested on animals perhaps in, you know, 2000, and by 2005 you were then able to use it, which meant that there wasn't really much disincentive because you just had to wait a little bit longer. If you have a fixed cutoff date, it meant that you could never use any ingredient after, say, 2000. So for me, that seemed the far more ethical and best practice. Is that something that still applies? Do people still use this rolling cutoff date rather than the fixed one?
Some companies do. And we'll hopefully talk a little about our Leaping Bunny program and what makes that different. But you've hit upon the heart of the confusion around this topic and why I think it's confusing for many consumers, because some claims only relate to, you know, a rolling rule, as you've just described, Liz. Others will relate just to maybe the finished product. So a product will say not tested on animals, but actually all of the testing takes place at the level of the ingredients. And in order to cut through that consumer confusion and provide one reliable global standard, we founded with a bunch of animal protection organisations the Leaping Bunny. And you're absolutely right that those Leaping Bunny criteria do require a fixed cutoff date from a brand.
It's really interesting, isn't it, the amount of weasel wording I think we've become, you know, used to seeing, unfortunately, a decent amount of greenwashing in all sorts of areas with labels. And when a product says on it boldly, not tested on animals, or we never test on animals, well, you're not actually doing anything really much above the law, because the EU says there's no testing on animals anyway. And who tests finished product on animals? You just don't do it. But your product may well be full of ingredients that have been tested as recently as a few months before going into the formula. So actually having a product that says not tested on animals, it's not really worth the bit of plastic it's printed on, is it?
I mean, we spend a lot of our time actually trying to explain to consumers, you know, how to work their way through this maze, because I think, you know, beauty brands are very conscious of how important this is to consumers. You know, we know that opinion poll after opinion poll, people don't want animal testing for cosmetics. It's almost 80% of people surveyed in the UK said they would actually swap brands because of this issue. So we know that it's important. But that does mean that, unfortunately, some of the wording and the language used by businesses is confusing. That's why we say to consumers, really only shop with brands that are approved by the Leaping Bunny, because that has very clear and traceable criteria. It requires a brand not to test after their fixed cutoff date. We have very clear supplier monitoring systems. We have auditing. and where brands face challenges around things like chemicals testing, our Leaping Bunny brands are working with us to try and overcome those challenges. So, you know, we have got brands in the family that really do want to make a difference, and that's much more important than maybe just putting a few words onto a bottle.
Absolutely. So I think, if you know, the message here is very clear. If you are serious about wanting to buy a cruelty-free product, the Leaping Bunny logo is the way ahead. And also questioning, I think calling out companies, you know, if somebody says not test on animals, it's you know, that they're just operating within the letter of the law and using that as a marketing claim. What would be better would be to say, you know, none of our ingredients have been tested after a certain date. Or, you know, challenging these things, as you are doing, of course, with your organisation. Playing devil's advocate here, Michelle, can I just throw out the question of safety? Because obviously no company wants to test on animals. You know, leaving aside the ethics and the morality and the animal suffering, it's expensive, it's time consuming, and it's offering a level of consumer protection potentially against what could be quite serious eye complaints. You know, these are products, you know, soaps and shampoos, they go in the eyes, they go in the mouth. You might ingest certain lipsticks if you're putting things on your skin. Clearly, we need to be safe and protected as consumers. What are the alternatives and are they as effective?
We absolutely do need to be safe, you're right. And I think it's really important that the message goes out that this is not a trade-off between safety and animal protection. You actually have both. What's been great over the last couple of decades, while, you know, people like us and you have been campaigning on this issue, is that we have seen more and more non-animal methods now come to fruition. So, you know, methods that don't use animals, like reconstructed human skin, you know, tissue modelling, computer modelling, reading across from existing data, using existing safe ingredients. These methods are actually much more relevant to humans and more effective than animal testing. So this really is a win-win, because we're not using animals, which is what the public want to see, but we're also able to access more reliable, more relevant methods that actually make products safer.
That's all very good news. But I think, as you hinted earlier, there is a potential spanner in the works now, isn't there? Isn't there some more potential legislation coming from Europe that is being proposed that could upset all of this?
Sadly, we are facing another challenge. It goes back to the start of our conversation where we said there's been so much progress internationally, but now we are facing a challenge here in the UK and internationally because of chemicals legislation. And chemicals legislation, something called REACH, that does actually require chemicals that are on the market to be retested. And there are
retested. Why on earth would you want to retest them?
Well, there are regulators, the Chemicals Agency, for example, who are requiring that, you know, every box be ticked on some of these chemicals, even where there are non-animal methods, even where they have a real history of existing safe use. And our brands, our Leaping Bunny brands, do not want to have to retest those ingredients, nor do they want to use them if they have been retested. So we're having to put up a fight effectively to say both to the UK government, look, you know, post-Brexit, you've an opportunity here to carve your own way, to listen to what UK consumers and high street businesses want, and don't follow what's a ruling of the European Court to say that certain ingredients have to be tested on animals. And, you know, we're saying to those European regulators, let's pause and reflect here. This is not reflecting what citizens and businesses want. You know, there is another route, and we don't want to see all of the progress that we've made in cruelty-free beauty rolled back. So this is a really critical moment in the whole history of this campaign, actually.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Gosh, that's so interesting to know and very timely for us to have this conversation. That, and that actually, you know, that's one of the points I think a lot of people were saying, well, you know, we voted to leave the EU so that we could have autonomy and that we could make our own rules and legislate ourselves. How can we influence the powers that be in Westminster that actually this is important and we need to stand firm and reject the EU guidelines on this or EU legislation that's proposed?
Yes, there are a number of things that we're doing. If people go to our Cruelty Free International website, you'll see we've had our great Leaping Bunny brands join behind us and actually write to the UK government and ask that we don't follow this appeal board decision in of the European Chemicals Agency and that we actually plough our own furrow. We've got a Target Zero petition which is aiming to get a debate on this issue and actually make sure that we really set an effective timetable for a phase out of animal testing. And then for anyone listening who is a European citizen, whether they live here in the UK or people who may be listening from Europe, we have joined forces with a number of major brands and other organisations to have a citizens initiative. We need to reach 1 million signatures to put this onto the agenda of the European Union and to ask for a targeted phase out and to save cruelty-free cosmetics. So there's actually a lot happening in this space right now. So anyone listening who is concerned to save cruelty-free cosmetics, if you hop over to the Cruelty-Free International website, you'll be able to join up with a lot of efforts that we're taking.
Amazing. Well, I hope we can help you with that, Michelle. I think we've had over 2 million downloads of my podcast. So maybe if a number of those are overseas, they will certainly be helping with that. Can we broaden the conversation a little bit? I do want to come back and talk about international. I do want to cover off China,
yes,
because that is a big elephant in the room that we need to talk about on many levels, but particularly with cruelty-free cosmetics. But it is broader than just cosmetics, isn't it? If we look at the whole arena of animal testing, if you look at the amount of household products, for example, you know, look at our cupboards, they're full of washing liquids and detergents, yeah, and fabric conditioners and, you know, cleaning agents. You know, those still undergo significant levels of animal testing. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's absolutely right. And what we found is in our survey work, if you ask the public for their concern around animal testing, for example, in beauty products, you get very high concern and very high awareness. If you ask about household products, so everyday products from, you know, washing up liquid to washing powder, there's still a lot of concern, but people are simply not aware that these products are also tested. So animal testing is in supply chains of ingredients in lots of everyday things that we buy. So the Leaping Bunny also covers household products. That's an important category. And there are fewer brands there because there's not as much awareness, but that section also is growing. And we obviously as an organisation are working to try and end all kinds of animal testing, working with scientists and regulators to bring non-animal methods in and to drive support for businesses to respond to consumers. But you're absolutely right. It's what's under the kitchen sink as well that we need to think about. And there are a great range of Leaping Bunny brands that do actually provide products that are cruelty-free in that space too.
But presumably there is a point where you have to draw the line. I mean, I'm thinking now about medical testing. You know, I think, you know, what's the acceptance of that with consumers? Because, you know, medicines are designed to save lives. They're given to, you know, babies and children. There's presumably, will there always have to be animal testing for things like that? Or are those trials, could they be conducted with computer modelling or, you know, growing skin or in testing in petri dishes on cell cultures?
That's a really interesting point. I think it's absolutely fair to say, and I would acknowledge this as someone who's campaigning to end all animal testing, that there are different levels of acceptance and understanding amongst the public about different kinds of testing. So obviously, if you're talking about consumer goods, whole scale opposition. If you're looking at medical testing, for example, the conversation is definitely more nuanced because there's not as much awareness about what's happening. We do work in that area. That's governed by different regulations in that, you know, this is about drug companies, pharmaceutical companies actually have to put these drugs through animals as part of international regulation. So our work there is much more focused on looking at whether or not, you know, that model really works. Is it the most effective model for testing medicines, for example? There's a lot of evidence that it isn't, and getting non-animal methods more widely accepted. So we work with regulators and with scientists internationally to try and move the needle on that issue too.
Really, really interesting. Now, coming on to look at international concerns and particularly China, many people who will be aware of this whole issue will call out companies and say, well, you say you don't test on animals. You know, you say perhaps you even have the Leaping Bunny logo. I don't know whether that's applicable in this case, but you sell in China. And China, until recently or perhaps ongoing, I'd love an update on this, insist that any product coming into China is tested on animals. And we're talking finished product here, aren't we? We're not just talking ingredients. So that has been a real thorn in the side, I know, for a lot of beauty companies who don't test, who don't want to test, who don't use ingredients, but they have the opportunity to expand into China. And all of a sudden, their products are then taken and tested by the authorities there. What is the situation in China at the moment and historically?
That's a really great question, because China is very much one of the top issues facing beauty brands. So it has been historically the case that our Leaping Bunny brands and great ethical brands have had to make a choice between, you know, retaining their ethics and their cruelty-free status or selling into China. And that's very difficult for a lot of brands who want to naturally grow their market share. So it used to be the case that Leaping Bunny brands, cruelty-free brands, could not sell in China. There's been rapid change in that market over the last few years. Cruelty Free International has been working in China with Chinese regulators and brands for some years now. And we started initially a pilot program to enable some brands who wanted to go into China, domestically manufacture, to avoid animal testing under our supervision and with the support of government. And that was successful. Since that time, a few years ago, there have been a lot of developments now. And now the Chinese government themselves have said that there are going to be routes through to market, not only for brands that domestically manufacture there, maybe the larger brands, but also for brands that want to import. So we're now really very much at the early stages of that door beginning to open. So now this is not a closed market for cruelty-free brands any longer. We have guidance and criteria and support as Leaping Bunny to help brands that want to work in China. And there's still a lot of work to do with public perception and understanding. And this is not a straightforward route to market, but it is a route that is opening. So we hope that brands will not have to make a decision between accessing that major market and their ethics and values. And that's really good news.
So it could well be that brands are currently being pilloried for selling in China, despite having good credentials elsewhere in the world, are actually, you know, able to do the right thing.
Yes, that's what we hope. So we're saying to all of our Leaping Bunny brands now, you know, if China is on your agenda, have a conversation with us, because this is not the closed market that it used to be. And we're continuing to work with our partners in China to encourage further change and development, because we want China to be a market like any other for brands, and them to make commercial decisions and their own decisions about this and not be held back because of animal protection.
Well, absolutely, because actually, if you play that out on a business footing, it means that you are denying smaller brands the chance to grow and become stronger as a brand, who are perhaps operating in the most ethical and animal-friendly way, whereas the bigger brands then get bigger and bigger and overtake and squash the smaller guys. So actually, it is really important, isn't it, that
yeah,
we do have a level playing field and that smaller brands can operate internationally across all markets and grow their businesses accordingly.
Absolutely, and that's what we work internationally, and our model is to work with brands that want to do the right thing. So we're an organisation that, you know, approves brands, works with brands, campaigns with brands, as we are now on this threat from chemicals legislation. But everything is done in partnership, because we believe that giving consumers choice and supporting brands to enable them to offer that choice is the right way forward.
Michelle, it's been so interesting to chat. Thank you so much. It's such a good catch up. And I can't believe that we first started these conversations. I mean, it must be 25 years ago.
I think it is. Yes, like that. I actually think it is.
And I'm very, very proud to have been one of the, to go right back to the BUAV and to have had the Leaping Bunny logo for such a long time. I wish you massive continued success. Can you remind us of the website and where people can go to get more information and those action points that we talked about?
Yes. And just before I do that, Liz, thank you for being one of those pioneers, because I can sit now and look at all of these great brands that are coming to market as cruelty-free, that are working with us, but someone had to be there as a pioneer, and what you did with your own brand working with us made a huge difference then and continues to now.
Oh, so thank you so much.
It's
a pleasure. I love it when we make a difference.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about,
isn't it?
Being the change.
And being there at the start really mattered. Thank you. So people can go to crueltyfreeinternational.org. So that's the website, and there you'll be able to search for brands that are Leaping Bunny approved, as well as be updated on all of our current campaigning activities, so we continue to create a cruelty-free world together.
Fantastic. And just taking a few moments to click a few of those petitions can really help. The strength in numbers. Michelle, thank you. Wish you all the best. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Liz. Bye-bye.
Well, as always, it's great to share a bit of in-depth knowledge and glean the latest factual information from an expert in their field like Michelle here. And you will, of course, find links to Cruelty Free International and those petitions that we talked about in both the podcast notes and over on my lizarwellbeing.com website. Lots of chat, actually, about the world of beauty. You may have seen on my Instagram lives or my Facebook lives me talking about a new ish beauty brand, Beauty Pie, who are a bit of a disruptor in the world of beauty, and talking about beauty tech as we were earlier. They are a very interesting business model because they sell everything on their website at cost price. Yeah, literally, just what it costs them to send it to you. So how do they make their money, you might ask? Well, they have a subscription model. So in the past, you would sign up to their website for a membership fee, and you could sign up for a monthly amount, and how much you paid depended on how much you wanted to order. Well, I'm pleased to say that they have grown, and they have now updated their business model, which is giving us even better value. The products are great. I use them myself. I buy them myself. And all you have to do is join Beauty Pie to get access to everything at cost price. So they've changed it now. So you just pay a one-off fee for an annual membership. It's normally £59. And if, of course, you use the Liz Loves affiliate discount code, you get £10 off. So it's only £49 for the whole year. It's really, really good. So don't forget, if you want to sign up, head to Beauty Pie. That's beautypie.com. And Liz Loves, all in capitals, all one word, will give you £10 off your annual membership. Now, I had a very nice comment, actually, on my Instagram. It was from Jane, who says, "Hi, Liz, you have talked me into trying Beauty Pie. I've just received my first box. I love it all, especially the moss candle, and what a saving. Another satisfied customer. Thank you." Well, thank you very much for your feedback. It's always lovely to get feedback on all sorts of subjects, whether they are health-related or beauty-related or food or fitness or so many more of the things that we talk about. And of course, recently, there has been a lot of chat on HRT and menopause because, well, that's kind of in the ether at the moment, isn't it? I hopped over to iTunes a moment ago and I've spotted this comment left on the 13th of October by Top Janny, who writes to say, "I've been a keen listener for 3 years. Changed and constantly changing, improving my health by weekly dosage and injection of your inspiring podcast. It has saved my marriage in the process as well." Wow. "I visited the clinic for HRT, Newson Health. I'm now on patches through my local GP." That actually is a really good point. You know, sometimes you can go to these private clinics, but then you can end up being referred back to your own GP, which of course is the ultimate goal, isn't it? So Top Janny goes on to say, "Because I feel so empowered with the information about women's health, I have started to share episodes on our school mums WhatsApp group. And since then, I have gained stronger friendships with mums that recognise themselves in these podcasts." Isn't that great? I love that idea. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing links. It's always so clickable, isn't it, podcasts? You can share good information. You can pop it out on a WhatsApp group or, you know, chat that you've got with people. Anyway, there's more here. Top Janny goes on to say, "My friend's husband is getting help now with his mood swings thanks to the podcast on the 9th of October with Sarah Worley. So sending the right information is so important. Thank you, Liz." Yeah, do you know, I mentioned this before, I think last week, if you haven't listened to that podcast with Sarah Worley, do please take a listen. She's the founder of the Key Clinic and particularly helpful for mood swings, behavioural changes, looking at things like ADD, OCD, ADHD, working a lot with children particularly. But, you know, it's never too late. That's always the good thing with this brain of ours. We can make differences. We can make changes at any age. So terrific that your friend's husband is being helped. Thank you very much indeed for that comment and for that feedback. Do please continue to keep the feedback coming in. You can leave reviews on iTunes. We so appreciate it. If you click those little 5-star review buttons at the end of this podcast, it definitely makes a difference to my team and me. It gives us a little bit more visibility on the Apple platform. So thank you in advance for that. And of course, you can always leave comments and messages across any of our social media channels. That is it for this week. I hope you have a terrific weekend if you're listening on a Friday, and a great week ahead. And I shall look forward very much to being back on the airwaves with you this time next week. Until then, go well. Bye bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.